Pickaxe.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Welcome to Kirsty and Bryony's comfort zone.
Welcome, welcome. I am Kirsty.
I am Bryony.
There we go.
Another introduction.
We
nailed.
Did it. Nailed it. Hell yeah.
So, well, how are you today?
I'm all right. I'm pretty good. I haven't been dreaming very much. And when I have been dreaming, they've not been very pleasant. So
that's okay. I have had three dreams that I genuinely just cannot really remember what they are, to the point where when I went to send them to you earlier, I looked at them and I was like, I didn't record three. What is this on my phone? I listened back to one. I was like, no, that's me. That's me.
Someone else has been stealing your phone and recording their dreams.
They're like, I really want you to analyze them, but I'm too shy. So
if you could just read them out.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. You're the savior today. It's another Bryony episode because Kirsty's brain just will not provide any dreams.
See, I've had quite a few what are referred to as unrecordable dreams. Just bad, but
Bryony's dreams have been too sexy.
Just sexy, sexy dreams.
Really sexy dreams, yeah.
And haunting as well.
Hauntingly sexy.
That's what it says on my CV.
That's another one for the Twitter bio.
Yeah. But what I have done to, well, because what I thought was making up for a lack of dreams that it turned out that I did have, you know the way that I don't know about you, but ever since doing this podcast, I've just become more aware of dreams in general. I've been more aware of my dreams. People have started talking to me about their dreams a lot more, but also just dreams in literature, not to sound too
literature.
Fancy.
Books.
In books. So I've been reading a few books recently, and I have pinpointed paragraphs to do with dreams that I thought
I would read out.
So I'm that person now.
But
not only that, so I've got two passages from books that I've read, but also I rented a book from the library called The Complete Idiot's Guide to Interpreting Your Dreams. And I fully got this book expecting to be like, oh, yeah, look at the book that, oh, it thinks this, that, and the other. You know, I was fully prepared to be quite cynical about it. And then I started to read it and I was like, oh no, it's actually proper interesting. So I've highlighted some bits from that as well. I've used sticky notes. I've not got that far into it, but there's just a few things I thought I could bring to the table with it. So
I'm interested to see what's in the Idiot's Guide, because I remember you saying when you got it, and I wanna know. I'm an idiot. I'd love to know what's in that book.
Hang on, maybe that's why I find it interesting. Oh no!
Oh no!
One of the bits I will read out first of all, just to get this one out the way, is let me find it. So here's a question. What would you say features quite a lot in my dreams?
In your dreams?
Yeah.
Animals and wrestling.
So it's interesting you say that, because here's a paragraph from The Idiot's Guide to Interpreting Your Dreams. Perhaps there are many animals in your dreams. Animals are especially prevalent in children's dreams. Some researchers have suggested that a high percentage of animals in our adult dreams is a leftover tie to our primitive cave-dwelling past and expresses some of the basic concerns about our survival. I was reading that and I was like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
So it turns out, I'm still a bit of a cave dweller. And that's why my dreams are about animals and probably wrestling as well. You know, that's quite primitive.
Oh, there's nothing about school in there, is there?
I've not come across anything to do with school. But the things I found mostly interesting were, okay, so there's this bit right at the beginning. Trying very hard not to turn the book too close to the mic. And it's basically, I'll sort of summarize it, but it says, during the Middle Ages, dreams threatened people as possible messages from Satan. And rather than get caught red-handed entertaining the devil after hours, most dreamers kept their dreams to themselves. And I was thinking, okay, like, I fully appreciate that there weren't podcasts in the Middle Ages, but if there were, we wouldn't be able to do this one, because what if it was seen as witchcraft?
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
a podcast itself probably would be seen as witchcraft. Yeah,
we wouldn't have to do much to be branded as witches, I don't think.
That's true. But there's stuff in the book about how, like, you know, dreams were seen as, like, you know, messages or prophecies, and about how sometimes it was seen as, like, there's this bit that says, ancients believed the closer you were to a deity, the easier to catch the dream scent. So sleeping in the temple was the surest way to produce a divine dream. So basically, I'm going to start sleeping in Luchasaurus's garden and maybe...
maybe you'll show up.
Yeah.
That's such a self-fulfilling prophecy, though. If you go out of your way to go to sleep in a temple, of course you're going to dream about, like, God and stuff. You're like,
I have.
I'm going to sleep in my temple. I hope I have a dream about a deity. Ooh, of course you're going to dream about one.
There is so much of this stuff that's like, I think it was in Egyptian times, I was reading about how people would basically be like, the gods would choose their chosen dreamers to talk through. And I was thinking, like, so that people would do these, like, rituals to try and get dreams through. And I was thinking, it's probably that you're just, like, thinking about it so much and doing all of this stuff, like a bedtime ritual, that you are then dreaming about it.
Yeah, exactly. But then again, maybe you're Luchasaurus's chosen dreamer.
Maybe. But I just like one of the things that made me laugh in the book was it asked this really big question of, like, when did dreams begin? How did we evolve to have these dreams? I can't answer that question, but here's another question. I was like, oh, I was sort of hoping you were gonna actually tell me.
I don't actually know. Anyway.
So anyway, how's your day?
Sounds like our podcast. What does this dream mean?
I don't know. What did you dream about? Okay. But yeah, it's just like, I mean, I then tried to look through, there's this book called, it's translated as The Hammer of Witches, but it's like an old, it's like the Malleus Maleficence or something, the original title is, but I can't think what it is. But it's basically like a guide to catching witches and witch trials and stuff. And I did try to have a look through that because Alex has a copy, to see if there were any trials because of someone having, like, dreams
that's such a good idea.
But it didn't have an index, and I didn't have that much patience. So I have nothing to bring. Much like the answer to that question, I have nothing to bring to the table.
Have you had a little Google or anything?
I did, but it just kept on telling me about this book called Hammer of Witches, She Dreams of Fire or something like that. And I was like, oh, well, that's not what I want.
Yeah. Huh.
But I do wonder, because imagine there being a time, like, so picture, you know, ye oldie Kirstethi or whatever the ancient version of your name is. And, you know, she's sat there in her hovel The floor is made of mud. The walls are covered in mud.
Perfect.
No shoes. You're wearing a potato sack. And you've just woken up. And you've had a dream where, like, I don't know, like, Satan's popped up and just been like, hey, how's it going? Satan? Do you tell anyone? Would you keep it to yourself?
Probably not. If I knew that people were getting burned at the stake for chatting with Satan, probably not. No.
What if you had a dream where a goat talked to you?
Well,
I was trying to think of something less on the nose, but I guess that's still pretty on the nose.
That's still pretty on the nose. I feel like I'd probably make light of it. I'd be like, oh, hey, I had this dream where a goat was like, hey, what's up? And people would probably stare at me and say, you know, that's Satan. You need to be burnt at the stake now, you witch.
Like, you've walked into the hovel bar. And the little, like, stopped polishing the glass. The little peasant stopped playing the little peasant piano.
Everyone this is just going to be looks.
My recurring joke now.
I live in a hovel and wear a potato sack.
And everyone turns around and then the barman's just like,
What did you say? What did you say you dreamt about last night?
A goat. yeah, I did. What's wrong with that? Is this all right?
Oh, she be a witch, she do.
Oh, no, it was just a goat. Oh. You did tell me to kill people, but it was just a goat.
Oh my god, yeah, that reading that book, I mean, this is more about witchcraft than dreams now, but I did flick through some of it. And oh my gosh, they thought witches were up to all sorts of really bad things.
Oh, they did.
That's my summary.
I love a summary. Witch, me. I definitely would have been tried as a witch, honestly. Like, oh, she's weird. She stays in her house all the time and talks to her cat. Witch!
Yeah, oh yeah. Probably just even having a cat.
Yeah. Oh no.
Dear, oh dear.
Dear, oh dear. All this talk reminds me. Have you seen the horror film The Witch? Spelt with two V's. The Witch.
No, but...
That's a very good movie. You should see it.
Alex really likes it.
Yeah, it's a good film.
And I remember him going to see it and then coming back and being like, there's a scene with a bunny where the bunny's nose is going really quickly. Would the bunny have been okay? And then he was like, I looked it up and it turns out the bunny was probably just interested in something it could smell or hear. It's like, I'm glad you checked on the bunny afterwards.
Oh, bless.
But that's got a goat in it, hasn't it?
It's got Black Phillip in it.
Yeah.
Black Phillip, the Satan goat.
Is he the one, is that the film that has the, like, live deliciously or something? Is that a different film?
It might, maybe... Spoilers, but basically in the end, Anya Taylor-Joy, with her whole family dead because of Black Phillip, runs into the forest and becomes a witch.
Oh.
And they all get naked and dance around a cauldron. It's great. It's like, hell yeah, I want to be a witch.
Yeah. It's basically what I did all of lockdown anyway, so may as well get like-minded people involved.
Exactly. Like, the whole movie's like, oh, witches are bad. And then that ending comes up and it's like, hell yeah, I could get down with that. That sounds great.
I love the idea of being like a woodland witch. Like,
yeah,
but
exactly.
Like a vegan one. I don't like the scenes in films that you get where they're like, you know, grabbing a crow off of a perch and popping it in a potion or something. I'd want to just be rubbing moss on my face or something.
Yeah, witches are so cool. I love the whole aesthetic. I love the potato sack, muddy hovel.
Should we just leave now and become witches?
Yeah, let's do it.
Thanks for listening, everyone. This is the end. Bye.
We're going to go get naked and dance around a cauldron.
Oh, and Tabs could be your familiar as well.
He basically already is. This is perfect. What a baby.
What a baby. So on a slight tangent, but still within the realms of mythology and that sort of thing, I started reading Heroes by Stephen Fry. And literally the first chapter piqued my interest because it's called Hera's Dream.
Ooh.
And it's basically like Zeus is waiting at the top of Mount Olympus to have breakfast. And then Hera comes down and he's like, you're never late. And then she says, no, indeed, says Hera. Accept my apologies, but I slept badly and feel unsettled. I had a disturbing dream last night. Most disturbing. Would you like to hear it? And Zeus replies, absolutely, lies Zeus, who has, in common with all of us, a horror of hearing the details of anyone else's dream. So basically, I learned from this that Stephen Fry is never going to come on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, sounds like it. He's one of those that just doesn't like hearing about dreams.
Just doesn't like it. So add him to the list. Zeus.
Jeez.
And Stephen Fry.
Stephen Fry.
Bree. And Tom
Bree,
Clark.
Yeah.
They're on the list.
Yeah. They're not allowed on this podcast.
Banned.
It's not for them.
Banned for life.
Banned.
Unless they change their minds.
Maybe they can be tempted by the naked cauldrons dancing.
Wait, the cauldrons are naked too. You never said about that.
Yeah.
Stupid,
for sure.
Sexy
Everything's
cauldrons.
Naked. Stupid, sexy cauldrons. I've looked in my little dream book about witches, and it's not very nice about them. If you dream about witches, it's saying like that you're thinking about an ugly side of your personality, and that's I take offense to that. Honestly.
I feel like that's a very like old school stereotypical view of witches, though, because
yeah,
I look upon them quite favorably.
I do too. I think they're great. Ugly, fearful part of self that needs to be changed, manipulative, controlling, not seeing your own inner beauty.
Oh,
I think. That witches are a pretty sort of powerful figure, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's completely the opposite. I love witches. I think they're so cool. And, you know, they don't give a shit. They're going to go and live in the swamp covered in moss. They do what they want.
They don't have to wear bras.
They don't have to wear bras. They're running around with no clothes. And they're, and they're just living their life in the swamp with their cat. Oh, it's great. Living the dream. If I could be a witch, I would be a swamp witch.
I remember reading a book when I was little called Pongwiffy. It was about a witch. And that was like one of my favourite series of books.
Were they a smelly witch?
I think she was. And then I used to watch The Worst Witch. There was just a lot of stuff about witches that I saw very... Yeah, they had like a very positive... Like, I wanted that. I think her familiar was a hamster.
Ah.
I can't remember his name. But yeah, I always thought like, that's what I want to do when I grow up.
Yep, I want to be a witch. I still do. Oh my goodness.
Get there one day. We're already having the dreams, you know, that's part of the training.
Exactly. And we just need to count ourselves lucky we're not living in the Middle Ages.
We're allowed to talk about these things now.
Yep, I hope. We're going to have people knocking on the door with torches and stakes and pitchforks.
Oh, no.
You're coming with us.
Going to get thrown in the pond.
Oh,
see if we float.
No.
Well. Did you want to listen to a dream that I have no memory of?
I do. It's time to hear about wrestlers and bunnies.
I don't think there's actually any wrestlers in this week.
What?
I know. But then again, like I said, I don't really remember it at all. So there may be. One might have snuck in.
All right, then.
Disguised
we'll
as a
out.
Goat.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, here we go. I had this dream that I was staying at this university. It was one of those, like, big fancy universities, and I was staying with this family. It was like the son and the daughter were both going to the uni, I think, and the dad was David Bowie, who was like played by him but it wasn't actually him, and he was saying about not wanting to go and see this film because it was gay, and I was just like, oh. So I was having breakfast at the time, and I stood up and I reached for a croissant and I said, well, I did my dissertation on gay cinema, so I'll be very interested in going to sit. And then I like flicked my hair and walked out,
And then I went to see Jane, and she was working on a like board game. I think that's what she was studying. She was like, I've improved Scrabble. But basically the Scrabble board is like huge, like the size of a table, and there was like these just massive blocks, and she was like, you have to fill it all in. And I was like, this, how are you gonna, like, some of it's like 32 letters long, how are you gonna fill it all in? But I didn't want to say. So then I was like, oh, what if you at the end of your turn had to put like a blank, like a piece that blocks out one of the squares, so you're slowly trying to like block each other. And yeah, I don't really remember anything else other than I saw an old friend of mine and I gave them a hug and I was like, I'm not testing positive anymore, I can hug people now. Further than that, yeah.
Yep. Oh, bye-bye.
So there you go.
That little giggle at the end. I'm not positive anymore.
I genuinely don't remember what friend it would have been.
That dream was so cute.
I don't know why David Bowie.
I love that you were just sassing David Bowie. I flicked my hair and walked out. I
grabbed a croissant and flicked my hair. What does it say about me that even when I'm like, that clearly you've said something very horrible and I'm going to leave your house and tell you I disapprove, but I will still accept a free breakfast, thank you.
I will take the croissant and leave. You probably like leave, then walk back in and just grab it slowly.
Or grab the whole plate.
Good day, sir.
You do not deserve croissant.
I did my dissertation on gay cinema. Oh my gosh, that is fantastic.
And yet, like, I remember the Scrabble board now. It was the size of a pool table.
Oh, my God.
And the middle section was clear. Like, you didn't have to put anything down there, but all the outside,
yeah,
you had to fill in. And it was like imagine Scrabble, but if you had to fill the entire board.
Oh, my God.
Like, I was just thinking, this doesn't work. There's just not enough words that would fit this. This makes no sense. So I instead invented competitive Scrabble. Apparently.
was it like, had the blocks with the letters on been scaled up, or were they still tiny?
No, they were still the same size as normal Scrabble.
Oh my God.
This is what these kids are studying at university these days. Board games. Yeah. Big Scrabble.
Giant board games. Big Scrabble. I've improved Scrabble. I've made it 10 times bigger.
Imagine words, but more. I've done it.
And you have to fill the whole thing.
Yeah, it was strange. I can't think of any meaning from it whatsoever.
No, me neither. I just love it. It's just like a really happy, floaty, like, well, I disagree with you, but I'm going to go about my day. And then you go off with your croissant and then you see your friend.
Give them a hug. I mean, I am testing negative now. So that's just a very, that's just an on the nose thing, I guess.
It really feels like one of those dreams that you have when you're sort of just about to wake up, where it's just lots of random stuff that just keeps shooting around in your head, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just the rest. Get the rest out now.
Just everything. Throw everything at her right now. Croissant, breakfast, hungry. David Bowie.
It's just such an odd choice for David Bowie as well, because he was famously very accepting and open of people. So why? But he was, it was like, you know, the typical like smoking jacket, reading a newspaper at the breakfast table type posh dad. He was playing like that sort of character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was David Bowie, but he was in a role. Yeah. He was acting. Can you think of anything that made you think of David Bowie? Like, have you seen anything or listened to his music or...
No, he's just come out of the blue.
He's just there.
Yeah, he's just always there in my mind.
He's always there. Oh, dear. He's taken the place of the wrestlers this week.
Yeah.
But no, honestly, I can't think of any meaning for those. I think, like, they're just... Maybe you're just thinking about people. Maybe you were hungry and you were like, I'm not positive anymore.
I did watch... Before going to bed at some point last week, I did watch a Vine compilation, so that's probably where the croissant came from. Star, we're going to drop my croissant. It's probably that simple.
Oh my God.
And maybe there was like a David Bowie song in there. Maybe someone
that's
was
so
playing
funny.
A board game or something. I don't know. It's probably just...
This is what I mean. Like when people say, what does my dream mean? It's like Vine compilation. It had a croissant. It means that you were looking at Vine before you went to sleep.
Yeah, in my professional opinion.
Wait, should I look up a meaning for croissant?
Oh yeah, it's probably like a pastry or something.
Just be like food,
or breakfast.
Yeah, food, breakfast. I want to see how wildly different any sort of meaning will be.
Oh no, what if you find some really deep meaning and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's true.
Oh,
Freud
no.
said that if you dreamt about croissant. Oh no.
Okay. Oh jeez. Okay, what do we got? Vegetables, sugar, sandwich, spices, salt, meat, lollipops, frozen food, oysters, pasta, pie.
This feels like my
pickles,
like winter
rice.
Soldier waking up words now.
Pickles!
Sugar, pickles, candy floss. I'm here. I'm ready. Who am I fighting?
Hello. I don't think there's anything for pastries. There's cakes. But other than that, no. So you're an outlier. Oh, breakfast, though. These may suggest your attitude to a new project. It's worth recalling how these foods were eaten. So you were eating it while you were sassing David
Bowie?
Yeah,
I ate it sassily.
Sassy.
Maybe I'm feeling very bold and sassy at the moment.
Alternatively, your mind may already be thinking ahead about what to make for breakfast
that
in the morning.
That sounds more likely. Because I have literally been thinking, because I go on holiday tomorrow, and for like weeks, all I've been thinking is Sainsbury's do these bags of vegan pain au chocolat. And
ooh.
I want to go and, I mean, that is what I am actually doing after the podcast is recorded,
oh
is going to Sainsbury's and buying those.
Well,
so
I
it's
think
probably
we
just
found
that.
The root of the croissant.
Turns out I'm not that deep.
She's just hungry.
I did realize that when I was looking them up to see if they still did them, I went to type in like vegan pain au chocolat, but I didn't type the whole thing. And when I looked, I had just searched vegan pain. Just the things
vegan
I must go
pain.
Through.
Oh.
Wait, oh my gosh, that reminds me. There was a time I was on holiday in France.
Yeah.
And we were driving down this road. And there was a guy with a bread stand by the side of the road, and he had just like a written, handwritten cardboard sign that said "pain," French for bread.
Pain.
But to me, he was just a
pain.
Man surrounded by bread holding a sign that said "pain," and I was like, "This is some art piece or something you're doing? Just it's about life." Like, oh, I get it. Yeah, no,
yeah,
life
that's
is
so deep.
Fragile, like bread. It crumbles and it goes stale
and moldy.
Yeah, you have to get it while it's fresh. Seize the bread.
Seize the bread.
But then I realized it's just bread.
It's just
sometimes
bread.
Bread is just bread.
Sometimes a croissant is just the croissant. I want the bread guy on a t-shirt.
Life is pain.
Life is pain.
There you go. That's our first lot of merch we can have.
Merch! Woo!
Just a loaf of bread that says life is pain.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
I've noticed that my next dream is like really short.
Yeah, I wonder what it is. Can you remember anything?
I remember that the next two involve nieces and nephews.
Okay.
But that's all I remember.
Well, let's find out.
Okay.
Let's do it.
I had one of those dreams that was all over the place. So I remember I was trying to film something with Jem. And we had a forklift truck in the back of a car, and Tom was driving the car. And every time we turned, the forklift would fall over. And then there was something about I had a mattress on the floor, and one of my friend's friends was carrying something, and she bumped into me, and I stubbed my little toe, and it really hurt. And then I had a baby. But the baby was my niece, but they, and I kept calling them by my niece's name, but they hated me. And I was like, oh my gosh, but my niece likes me. Why does my own baby hate me? Like she didn't want to be anywhere near me, and she kept calling me stinky. And there was a bit about, sleeping on the floor. I think there's something about a fire. I don't know. It was a mess. Bye bye.
Bye.
One thing.
She kept calling me stinky.
One thing I have to apologize for is I got a new phone and the mic is different to where my old phone is. So I think I kept on brushing the mic. So it's a bit rustly.
Oh, so white.
Rustle. I actually think I know the meaning of this.
Do tell.
So I think what it is mm-hmm. because so I have two bunnies that are my babies.
You do.
And bunch. We're going to be trying to bond them with a third bunny. And I think that's what it's about, is that I'm worried that I'm going to get this new baby who is like babies
oh,
I know.
Yeah.
But what if she hates me? I think that is the connection.
Aww. Yeah, I can totally see that. She is not going to hate you.
I hope not.
She will not hate you. You've met her already.
Yeah. She's feisty. She's like a lot feistier than I thought she would be. So I'm slightly like, ooh, is my baby boy, is he going to be able to deal with having two feisty whammen in his life?
Aww. Bless him. He's the boss though, isn't he? So I think he'll get on it. Okay.
In title, not in anything else. He likes to think he's the boss. It's so funny the way that Fionn will just steal food literally from his mouth and he won't do anything about it.
Aww.
But when I first hand them the food, he'll like grunt at her and tell her off and be like, it's mine. But then after that, he's just like, well, you can have it. I mean, that's cool.
You can have some. I'm done.
But yeah, I think Aww. That's what it is. And I do remember the bit where, I don't remember what friend it was or what friend of a friend it was, but I do remember that they almost walked into me and I went to the side and I stubbed my toe and they kept on being like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Are you okay? And I was just like, yep. Yeah, I'm fine. But stubbing your toe is horrible.
It is.
I was not
yeah.
fine. I was putting on a brave face.
Well, honestly though, getting meaningful and deep now, but you put on a brave face all the time. Even when you're stressed, you always do. So you're worrying about getting this new bunny, but you're obviously a little bit anxious about it. Oh, and obviously excited too.
Yeah.
And I bet you're just like, You got to be like all smiley and like, oh, new bunny. But you're like, oh my God, what if they hate me? What if they call me stinky? What if they...
I love that that is what my brain comes up with as being like the worst thing. The worst thing you could do. They called me stinky.
I can't believe it.
I do just remember it being like this tiny version of my niece, because my niece is like 10 now. But in the dream, yeah, it was like back when she was like 2. When kids do go through that sort of phase of they don't hold back. They are mean to you, mm-hmm, but it's not.
Yeah.
Like they're just testing the boundaries, really, and they don't, yeah, really have developed ways to express themselves, so they do just like, I remember one time my niece just whacked me on the head and I was like, dude, why? And why? She was probably just trying to say like, I want to do something else, or I'm hungry, or I need to poop or something, but she didn't have those communicative devices, so it was just like, I'll smack you and you'll figure it out.
That's fair. That's one way to do it.
Yeah. And I guess in a way it is like that when you get like a new animal, because you don't know how to communicate. Like, I know my bunnies very well now, so I can tell, you know, usually what they're feeling or what they want. But when, yeah, you meet a new bunny, it's like learning that all over again. And you do sort of test your boundaries. Learn. And, yeah.
Like how, what she's like and how she sort of acts and stuff.
Yeah.
For sure. There is that little sort of period when you need to get used to them and they need to get used to you, and sometimes they call you stinky. But you will work through it.
Yeah. I have just realized that so much of the time I dream about animals because I'm primitive, and then the time I'm actually dreaming about animals, they're not animals.
Yeah, they're humans.
Brain, what are you doing?
It's trying to be less primitive, but it's like secretly,
yeah,
we're still going to be dreaming about animals. Just all the animals.
All the animals.
All the animals. It's so weird, like the baby dream. I've had dreams where I've like randomly had a baby there as well.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of those fairly recently. I think there was one that I had where I was in like a flat on my own and there was this baby. And I was like, oh, jeez, I've got a baby. What the hell am I going to do?
Did I make that?
But then, did I make that? And then my older sister was there and she was like looking after it and trying to sort of teach me. And in the end, she just kind of took over. And I was like, whew, dodged a bullet there. you can keep it.
You seem to have a nice bond now. Maybe you keep it.
you keep it. I'm fine. I'm fine, honestly. I don't need it.
I'm worried I'm going to regret this, but what does your book say about a baby?
Oh, God.
Baby.
I dread to think. Let's find out. A baby.
A baby.
Baby. I'm going to sneeze.
Do you know, wait, sneezing is just
I'm trying.
Satan talking to you through your dreams.
Oh my God. Okay, baby. Baby animal, babysitter, baby. If a baby is born or appears in your dream, were you the proud parent? If you were, this suggests a budding talent or creative potential that's just emerging. If you give birth to two or more babies, it may symbolize groups of ideas or personal talents. On the other hand, it could suggest that you need to lavish extra care and attention on your brain child if it's to be a success.
Oh.
If the dream baby is premature, the message is stressed further. Yeah, it just seems to be an idea, it seems to think.
I mean, more bunnies is an idea. It's an idea, exactly, I had a while, yeah, ago.
It's a good idea. Just more bunnies. More bunnies. And it's like, you need to think about this idea.
Okay.
I think more bunnies.
I think, yes. More bunny.
Good idea. Yeah, but the other book says it represents a new beginning. So it's going to be kind of, well, it's a new beginning for the new baby, for Pink.
Yeah, it's like a new
Barney
possible stage of life as well, because it is very, yeah, new. Like, I've never had a trio. I've always had pairs. So, yeah, I think trios are very different. It's a whole,
yeah,
learning experience.
It's exciting. I can't wait to meet her.
No. Just have to hope it all goes well. Well, I guess I can report back next podcast. Hopefully it won't be. So I had another stress dream about the Bond again.
I had another stress dream. There were babies everywhere and they were all saying horrible things about me.
I love the way I also just casually at the end was like, oh, there was a fire as well, but I don't know.
What did you say that? I completely missed that. There was just a fire.
I just said something like, oh, I slept on the floor and there was a fire, but I can't remember. This being called stinky is more stressful than a fire.
Yeah,
that's what stuck with me. But I think sometimes, because I don't really have a sense of smell, sometimes I do worry about being stinky because I can't smell me. So maybe that is more scary. Whereas a fire I can deal with, but I can't teach myself to smell. I mean, not like to physically. How do you differentiate the words? I can't teach myself to inhale the smells.
To inhale the scents.
I can teach myself to be smelly, I'm sure.
Yeah, pretty easily. Well, you've never smelt bad when I've seen you, so you're doing well.
Woohoo!
Woo! Take that, dream baby. I have a sense of smell. I smell all the time.
I genuinely made myself lightheaded the other day because I was trying to smell Squeak.
Aww, and were you just sitting there sniffing your hamster?
Yes. I was sat in with her. And I suddenly could smell menthol. And I was like, is it her? So obviously she's low to the ground because she's a hamster. And I put my head... Well, I should have just picked her up, I realise now. But I put my head down to her. And I was like really intensely sniffing, like, can I sniff if she smells of menthol? And then because I think my head was upside down and I was sniffing. And suddenly I was just like, woo, what a rush. I just had to take a moment, like, oh.
Oh, my God. I used to sit and smell my rats.
Aww.
Because, like, they used to have a lot of felt, like, hammocks and stuff in their cage. And when they got washed, the rats would smell like washing powder. So I would just smell them and be like, You smell good.
It turned out it was my new trousers. I ordered trousers and they turned up smelling of
They smell
menthol.
Like menthol. Why?
And I only found out because I then was like, oh, I should show Alex my new trousers. And I put them on and I walked into the next room. And Alex was like, now I can smell menthol. And we were like, oh, it's the trousers.
Why the heck did they smell like menthol?
I don't know. I guess they just... Maybe it's like, you know the way that supermarkets put all the fresh stuff at the front of the shop because they want it to be like, this is a nice fresh shop where fresh things are. Maybe they want like a positive association for when you take your trousers out of like, oh, new trousers, fresh, woo, so that you'll keep going back. Maybe it's like, because I think smells do play a part. It's like when they say if you're trying to sell your house to like bake bread or cookies the day of the showing so that people are like, ah, oh, I like this place. I don't know why. I'm hungry. Is that a croissant?
Ooh.
Is that David Bowie? What?
Tell me what you think of gay cinema.
I might order more trousers, so I'll have to see what they smell like. Well, I'll get Alex to smell them. Tell me what they smell like.
It must have been pretty strong if you were able to just smell them like without trying.
Well, that was the thing. They were on the bed. And I just randomly got like a whiff. Because my smell, like I do have a bit of a sense of smell, but it comes in dribs and drabs. So it was just all of a sudden like a, little mint.
Little minty
trows. Sounds like a really posh detective name.
Minty trows. It's my next D&D character.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Well, should we listen to your final dream of the day?
Okay. Now, I remember saying the words niece and nephew in this one when I recorded it. So we shall find out if I was stinky or not. Okay.
Okay. Let's do it.
So it was a very... Another... Sorry. It was another very all over the place dream. I was staying in this big, like, country house with all my, well, it was meant to be all my family, but, you know, it's just like a random collection. And, like, my mum was making this massive cake with who was meant to be all of my nieces and nephews. And, but I think the cake was of, like, a big house itself, and it was surrounded by like patchwork fields, and they were all working like super hard on it. And Bree was there, and he was like looking for this drill bit that Alex had borrowed or something. But then it like cut to this like undercover patrol car that was outside, because something was going on in the town and they were like suspicious, and they were driving through the town and they saw that someone was fixing you know those, like, I don't know what they are, the boxes that you get by the side of the road that are just full of wires, and they looked and it was a dog fixing it. It was Eddie from Frasier, I think, was fixing it. And then they're like, okay. And then they like went by our house and they looked up on the roof and they were like, someone's up there. And they looked up and it was Eddie again. And Eddie was like fixing the chimney. And then he slowly like climbed in and moved the little roof hatch across. And they were like, okay. That's a bit strange, but okay. And carried on going. I think that's all I remember. But yeah, odd. Bye bye.
Oh my god!
It's just a dog fixing the roof. What's weird about that?
What's weird about that? Oh my gosh. So what was the bit at the beginning?
So Bree, I was staying in this big like country house. Yeah. And it was like all of like mine and Alex's family were all staying together. But I only have one niece and one nephew. But it was like the, you know those like, you know like the opening scene where you see Hobbiton and there's just like kids running everywhere and big families. It was it was like that. It was like a big family gathering. And yeah. It was just, they were making this like massive cake, and I just remember like the patchwork fields, and they were adding it like all made of icing and stuff, and they were adding little icing flowers, and yeah. And for some reason there was like an investigation going on in the village. That's why this police car was there. But it was just little Jack Russell doing jobs around the town was the only thing they saw.
That is amazing. I would love to take a trip into your brain. My dreams have all been so crap this week, but yours have been amazing.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just because it's like springtime or something.
Maybe, yeah. That sounds like a very springy dream. Like it seems like it feels like an Easter sort of thing, like a big gathering of family and just colours and cake and everything everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
It just sounds so nice. My dream, I think I told you about my dream earlier today, but not during the podcast. My dream last night, so I was at work with like all animals and stuff. There were cats there and I was in charge of feeding the cats. So I put their food down, but then other people were in there, like people from the public, and they also started feeding the cats. And I was like, you can't do that. So I looked at the food that they'd put down and it was all moldy and horrible. And I was like, what the heck? You're feeding them moldy food? But then we looked and the can that I had been using, which I opened fresh, was moldy. And I was like, oh no, it was all my fault. I've been feeding them moldy food. Oh, now no. I'm going to be in trouble. That was my dream. Moldy cat food. Meanwhile,
I'm making a big cake and there's a dog on the roof.
It's just so wildly different. I wake up and I'm like, nah, I'm not going to record that. That's horrible. I was so about your dreams. Send them over.
I tried to. Maybe now you've heard them, maybe it will encourage you. Or, yeah. Oh my gosh, you know what? Because like from tomorrow night, you're going to be sleeping in my house whilst I'm away.
That's true.
So maybe it'll be like the sleeping in the temple thing. Maybe you'll have some of my... Maybe I'll visit you in your dreams.
Oh, that would be lovely.
I'll just be like, aya.
Aya.
Croissant?
Oh, I hope so. Oh, I'd love one. Thanks. I'm so bad with stuff like that where I try and dream about a certain thing. Like, if I go to bed thinking, I want to dream about this, I just can't do it. So I think, like, if I tried to do... say lucid dreaming and train myself for that, I feel like it would take me so much effort.
Yeah,
because I'm just terrible. When I was playing D&D in our last campaign with my usual group, me and a friend of mine, our characters were like father and daughter. Like, we had a really cool like dynamic going on, and like he would come back every now and then and be like, oh, I dreamt about our characters and they went on this cool adventure, and I'm like, I never dream about our D&D characters. I want to have dreams about our D&D characters. And I'm going to bed, I'm like, dream about D&D. No, I dream about moldy cat food.
I swear there's a whole section in the book about lucid dreaming. Maybe I can take a photo and send it to you. You can have
that would
some,
be good. I am an idiot and I do need a guide, so send it over.
But there's a whole thing about like encouraging... dreams and all of that sort of stuff. There was a bit that was quite scary about like if you don't dream at all, it can be something to do with there being like actual physical problems in your head. And I was like, oh geez.
Oh, really?
So I don't know, that seems quite scary. But I guess there's a difference between not remembering your dreams and actually just not being able to dream at all.
Yeah. Honestly, that kind of makes sense because I mean, I don't know if it lists like what problems, but when I was working full time at the rescue center, I was going through quite a sort of a dark time, and like I just got diagnosed with depression, and I just before I sort of started any treatment, I did not dream ever. I was always so tired. I would sleep a lot and I didn't dream ever, ever, ever. And if I did, I didn't remember it.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense. Like, and as soon as I left that job and I started like streaming full time and working for myself, my dreams came back.
Aww.
And yeah, it's crazy. Like, I don't know. Maybe I was just like too tired or what. Or maybe I was sleeping too heavily all the time.
Yeah, because I guess it is.
But
like,
yeah, I can totally see
different
that.
Phases of sleep that you're more likely to dream in. I think there's one bit in the book that I it's right at the beginning, and it's like, dreaming, what is it to you? And it says that they selected people and they ask how they define dreams, and this made me laugh more than it should have, but here's a selection of quotes from people about what dreaming is to them. So it says, dreams are the movies I see when I go to bed. Then they're obviously messages, but I usually can't decipher them. Then there's, dreams are my deepest thoughts surfacing under the cover of night, whether I like it or not.
Oh, jeez.
Dreams are infomercials and I'm the host. Because as soon as I got to that third one, I was like, okay.
Okay. Under cover of night.
Under cover of night, my deepest thoughts, they surface. There's also like something I've not thought about, but there's a whole section about how dreaming is different to daydreaming because you're like still partially in control when you daydream because you're not in a full sleep, whereas you're most like not vulnerable, but you're obviously like shut down a lot of your systems when you're in proper sleep sort of thing. So that's why your dreams can be ones that are a bit more like about deeper feelings. And
yeah, I think your subconscious definitely takes over a bit when you're asleep.
Yeah, there is another quote I was gonna give from a book that I read recently. So it was this I don't know why this made me giggle so much, but it's Northanger Abbey by Jane Austen. So you can already imagine what sort of quote it's gonna be. I'm just going to wait a moment because Alex has just snuck into the room and he wants to unplug something, so I'll let him do
that. Oh, Alex.
He's grabbing his guitar and scampering away. He's scampering. Go on, get! Yes, Nothang Rabbi by Jane Austen. So I'll try and read it in my most Jane Austen suitable voice. But Ooh. Basically, the beginning of the chapter is that this the main character is at a dance and she's met a man and they've danced together.
Oh, a man.
So it says, they danced again, and when the assembly closed, parted, on the lady's side at least, with a strong inclination for continuing the acquaintance. Whether she thought of him so much while she drank her warm wine and water and prepared herself for bed as to dream of him when there cannot be ascertained, but I hope it was no more than in a slight slumber or morning doze at most, for if it be true, as a celebrated writer has maintained, that no young lady can be justified in falling in love before the gentleman's love is declared, it must be very improper that a young lady should dream of a gentleman before the gentleman is first known to have dreamt of her. So basically, I need to find out if John Cena has dreamt about me yet, because otherwise,
yeah, you're pretty improper. Yeah, you've got a lot of people to apologize to in that case.
I didn't realize how improper I was. That's a long list of wrestlers that I need to apologize to at this rate.
You better start writing some letters.
I didn't think I'd be doing this video, but... that, I'm guessing, like, it's... Northanger Abbey is a weird one because it's very different to a lot of Jane Austen books in that she sort of breaks the fourth wall a lot and she references things outside of the book a lot, and there's a lot of literature that obviously would have been very big at the time that she references that I just have no idea what she's talking about. So yeah. When it says the bit about, as a celebrated writer has maintained, no young lady is justified in falling in love before the gentleman, I'm guessing that's a reference to something that was... like common
in a different
at
book?
The time, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know it, so she might be being quite like snippy about it or sarky.
Maybe she stuck something in one of her other books.
Yeah,
it's like the celebrated writer, which was me all along.
But I thought it was like, I was like, do you mean as in you shouldn't sit and daydream about them unless you're certain they like you? But then it says about the slight slumber or a morning doze. So I'm like, no, she must mean actual. Was it considered in that time improper to have a dream about someone you didn't think loved you?
Yeah.
Was it shocking?
It's so wild that it even extends to dreams. Like, going back to what we were talking about at the beginning, like, things that weren't proper or would get you thrown on the bonfire as a witch. Like,
yeah,
it's just
this is
crazy. Like, you're not even safe in dreaming.
It's yet another
you wake
time
up and you're like,
that we wouldn't have been allowed to do this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. You wake up and tell everyone you dreamt about a wrestler. Suddenly you're improper. Like,
I would
God.
Be shipped off to like the ante in France until I was suitable to come home. I'd be... reinstituted or whatever the word is
exactly,
for polite society.
Exactly. Oh dear. But now we can dream about them all we want.
Yeah.
All we want. It's just more content for the podcast. That's all it is.
Oh my goodness. Have you had people say to you, if you've said like, oh, I've not really had dreams, have you had people say to you, oh, just fake one? Because people say it to me and I'm like, I cannot fake the dreams.
I cannot fake a dream. I think I have had a few people say that. But that just seems so, I don't know, pointless. I think it has more meaning if you come out and say, like, I didn't really dream about anything and that's happening because of so-and-so, so-and-so, you know?
I quite like hearing, this is going to sound weird, because usually I don't like... listening back to or watching back anything that I do, but I do actually quite like hearing back my dreams because it's just such a weird part of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Which, thinking about it now, like, because I've started watching Severance now, and
oh good,
so whereas Rithian had very like clearly connected dreams when he was watching it, these are the dreams I have whilst I watch it.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, that part of, like, obviously no spoilies, but I guess it is interesting having a part of your brain that is, I don't know, I guess, like, your dreamy brain takes over when you go to sleep. and you can't access it.
It's a similar kind of thing.
A wakey brain. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's essentially like kind of what happens in the show as well. Like, you know, they go to work and they're basically asleep until they come back out. Like, they're just not there. And so it's so weird. It's such a good show. If anyone's not watched it, go watch Severance. So good. Hashtag ad.
Have you seen all of it now?
Yes, I have. I can't wait for the next series. Oh my god.
Oh, has it been next season? Confirmed to have another
one? It has been confirmed, I think, as far as I know. It better be, because it...
Oh, is it a bit of a... Okay, okay.
Because it's so good.
I am enjoying it. I didn't think I would. I put it off watching it for ages because I was like, eh, it's not really my sort of thing. But no, it is.
Yeah.
I watched it on your recommendation. So I would have just blamed you if I didn't. So,
Yeah, exactly. That's fine. The opening as well. Do you ever skip the opening to the show, or do you always watch it?
For some reason, we always watch it.
Yeah, because it's so good.
Yeah.
Like, the music is so good and the animation is fantastic. And the whole sort of opening of it, I think what the person who did it, this is now a TV podcast. So the person who, the artist who created the opening, I think they were given the score and they were given a very rough outline of the show. So they weren't like given the script or anything.
Yeah.
And they made it entirely from that. And it's just so good. It's very like abstract and dreamlike in itself, the opening to the show. And I love it. It's so good.
Do you remember when we were first coming up with the idea of what sort of podcast we wanted to do? And it was like MacGyver, and it was just anything we would talk about, but then they'd put like her or Whammon or something in it.
Whammon.
We should start Severance. We get on this early whilst there's probably not enough podcasts about it. We just do the cheeky switcheroo.
That's it. We're a Severance podcast now, everyone. Severance. We're going to watch every episode and tell you what we think about it.
The ever-evolving podcast.
Something different every week. Oh, my gosh. But no, I'm glad you're enjoying it, though. So good.
Yeah, I just finished watching something. So, you know when you're in a bit of a TV lull? So it came along at a good time.
Yeah, I'm in a bit of a lull at the moment. Now we finished that.
Yeah.
So
I've heard good things about Dark.
Yeah, Dark's another one. I saw episode one of that, but then we kind of dropped off, so we need to go back to it.
Yeah.
But I have heard good things about that. Sip said that it was a very good show.
I also want to watch all of Frasier, which is probably why Eddie, the dog from Frasier, was... Well, I was actually talking about him recently because... Someone in my Discord said that they saw a dog called Moose. And it's one of those weird facts that I always have at hand is that Eddie was played by a dog called Moose. And then he was taken over by his son, Enzo, who played Eddie for a while.
Aww.
And then they both retired together and they lived with the dog from As Good As It Gets.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And this is why I can't remember my times tables, because my brain is full of this.
Full of facts about TV dogs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have it any other way. Oh my gosh. Well, I think this has been a very good episode. Even though I didn't dream about anything, you have filled the gap with your wonderful dreams. So thank you.
I'm really curious to know how it's going to be for like the next episode when you've had dreams in my house and I've had dreams on holiday, and how that's going to perhaps, I mean, maybe there'll be no change. Maybe it'll just be the same stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
But I am curious to know like if it will, because I've never like kept a dream diary or anything. This is the closest I've ever come to having that sort of day by day account of how my brain is changed by this, like how my dreams are affected and stuff. So so yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to go on holiday and then sleep.
Always. Yeah, I'm interested to see if I dream at all in your house, and if I do, what dreams will I have? I'll be sure to record any of them, even if they're bad, and I'll have to filter through them and see.
Yeah. Nice.
Nice. Well, thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you,
it's been a pleasure.
It has. Thank you for listening to my brain.
Thank you for listening. Well, I didn't have any dreams, but thank you for talking to me.
Thank you for being my friend.
Thank you for being here. Oh, also, I was going to say to everyone listening, since your book has asked people what dreams mean to them, this week's question, everyone listening, what do dreams mean to you? Are they your darkest thoughts erupting from your brain in the dead of night?
Or are they just movies that you get to watch firsthand?
Yeah. Or have you been dreaming about breakfast? Like what do your dreams mean to you? Let us know in the comments. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for chatting. And thank you for listening. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye for
we'll
now.
See you all soon. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.